The hour has come. The set time for liberation is here. Experience the power of God. Join thousands in worship. Every Tuesday, impartation service at 7 p.m. Thursday, financial breakthrough service at 10 a.m. Friday, all-night service at 10 p.m. And Miracle Sunday services. First service at 9 a.m. Second at 11 a.m. And a prophetic healing service at 5 p.m. For more information, call 1-800-807-7617 or visit miraclearena.ca. Miracle Arena for all nations, revolutionizing the world for Jesus.
Let's continue with demonology. I didn't finish last time, right? Let's continue with that. Okay? I just want you to stay standing for the reading of the Word of the Lord this morning. And let me find my scripture, which I believe is in the book of Matthew. Yes, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43 we will begin. And this is Jesus speaking here. Matthew 12, verse 43, I'm reading from the New King James Version. The Bible says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and he finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house. Somebody say, my house.
My house.
I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and they dwell there, and then the last state of the man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. Father, give me strength, give me wisdom, give me understanding of things not written on paper. Help your people this day in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning. I think maybe this will tie very well into your fasting. I just want to do a quick recap for those of you who were not here. I think it was about three weeks ago when I began the teaching on Demonology 101, Understanding Demons. Demon possession is like a science almost. The way that a demon enters a person, the way that a demon dwells with a person, the way that a demon walks with a person. You really have to have an understanding of what demons are, what they do, how they enter in order to fight. The Apostle Paul said, thus I fight, not as one that beats the air. In other words, he was saying, I'm not fighting at like a blind man who doesn't know his opponent. I fight knowing who my enemy is. So we have to have an understanding. I know a lot of churches don't want to talk about demons and deliverance, but it's a very important topic. Every church, as I said before, every church must have a deliverance ministry. It is very important because as we looked at in the first study, they come in the church. While Jesus was preaching, the Bible says a demon-possessed person entered the synagogue. It wasn't outside of the church, it was in the church. And Jesus was in no way disrupted by it. He was no way embarrassed by it. He simply dealt with the demon, not the man. He dealt with the demon, cast it out, and went on about his business. Preaching, healing, and casting out demons were a part of the full ministry of Jesus Christ. And as pastors, in order to be like him, we must be able to do exactly what he did. If you want to learn how to be a perfect pastor, if there is such a thing, but if you want to be able to be a well-rounded, thorough man or woman of God, you must be able to preach, teach, heal, and cast out devils. Amen? Okay. We talked about, and this is what I really want to focus on today, binding the strong man. How many of you remember? And we dealt with how to deal with the strong man. Remember, Satan's kingdom is based on rank. And remember, when Lucifer fell out of the heavens, he took a third of the stars with him, which means he took a third of the angels with him. So there are a lot of demons in this world. A person can possess hundreds of thousands of demons in them. Jesus came to the demoniac and he said to the demoniac, "What is your name?" And the demoniac said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." A Roman legion of soldiers was about 5,000 people. So that one person alone had 5,000 demons. And remember what Jesus said? He said, "Bind what? Bind the strong man." Do you remember? Okay. So Jesus said, "Bind the strong man." You cannot enter into a strong man's house unless you first bind the strong man. So Jesus was teaching us how to do proper deliverance. Now, deliverance can be done in several ways. Deliverance can be done, and this is, if you ask me, the primary way that deliverance is done is through the preaching of the word. Many of the people were delivered through simply the teaching and the preaching of Jesus Christ. It's the word that cuts in. It's the word that divides. It's the word that delivers. So it's not necessarily that you have to come to the church and we have to lay hands on you and pour oil and water and all those things in order for you to be set free. You can come to the church, sit under anointed teaching, and get set free. Amen? This is better than AA, ladies and gentlemen. It's better than any kind of counseling. It's better than anything. The Word of God has the ability to deliver. You can go to a counselor for 15 years. And then open the Bible and read something so simple as, "He whom the Son sets free is free indeed," and get set free. There's a difference between abstinence and deliverance. I want you to write that down. There is a difference between abstinence and deliverance. So, for example, an alcoholic can be an alcoholic for 20 years, go to AA, and learn how to manage his alcoholism. So what you have done is you have abstained from alcoholism. But because you have abstained from alcoholism, if you don't deal with that strong man, the spirit of alcohol, if you don't deal with that demon, demons have no problem lying dormant for years. They're more patient than any of us. Okay? So just because you haven't taken a drink in 5 years doesn't mean you've been delivered from the spirit of alcohol. Just because you haven't had sex in 6 weeks doesn't mean you've been delivered from the spirit of lust. And if people can understand that in the church, then they would understand, how come I'll get serious with God and I'll be coming to church and I won't take a drink for 2-3 months and I feel like everything is good, but then when something goes wrong, I run back to alcohol. Or when something goes wrong, I run back and sleep with men. And you think, I don't understand, why do I keep going back? It's because you are in a demonic cycle. And just because you have abstained from something doesn't mean you've been delivered for something. Somebody say, bind the strong man. We have got to bind the strong man. So Jesus said, listen, when you are dealing in the area of demons and deliverance, you've got to bind the strong man. If one person can have 5,000 demons, how long would that take to cast out each and every one? You know, deliverance ministry takes a really, really, really long time. And it takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of fasting. It takes a lot of seeking the face of God. But if there's a manifestation and you have to cast out a demon and this person has a legion of demons within them, you could be there for days. You could be there for weeks. So in order to make it simple, Jesus said, bind the strong man. Remember the demonstration I did last time? The strong man will stand at the gate. The strong man is the keeper of the stronghold. So when you are under demonic bondage, you have a strong man
that keeps the door of that bondage open. And the bondage becomes like a revolving door. Let's use a lying spirit, for example, okay? A lying spirit would be the strong man. So the strong man stands at the door, and you don't understand. Some people come to me sometimes and they just say, you know, I can lie at the drop of a hat. You know people that just lie for no reason? Okay, so there's a strong man spirit that stands at that door. And it's like an open and revolving door. So he lets any demons in and any demons out that want to come. So when you go and do deliverance, if you don't bind the lying strong man spirit, all the other demons, when you're finished with deliverance, will be able to come back. Because he stands at the door and he opens the door and he lets them come back in. So Jesus said, bind the strong. Are you following me this morning? If you kill the strong man, all the other little demons will come out with him. Okay? You know, in the Bible, when Jesus was in the boat, and then he fell asleep on the boat, and then the wind and the waves began to beat on the boat. We know the story, right? The wind and the waves began to beat on the boat, and Peter cries out to Jesus, and he says, Master, we are perishing. Don't you care that we are perishing? And the Bible says, Jesus awoke, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace be. He rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, MD, come here. And I'll borrow you two jackets. So, you don't have to take your jacket. So, Jesus wakes up, and he gets up off the boat. And there's a storm that is now beating on the boat. And there's trouble on the boat. So their lives have become very chaotic. Are you following me? Life has become very chaotic. Now, I want you to first understand something. The reason that the disciples were on the boat was because Jesus said, let's get on the boat. So they were in obedience to Christ when the storm came in life. Okay? So there's a demonic storm that comes in life, and we look at ourselves and we look at life and we think, what did I do wrong? God must hate me. But what you don't understand is the reason the storm came is because, not because of anything you've done wrong, but because of everything you did right. It's because you were following him that the storm came. It's because you were obeying him that the storm came. It's because you were walking with him as his disciple that the storm came. So a storm is proof, positive, that you are following Christ and that you're doing the right thing. But you're on the boat and there's a demonic attack on the boat. And you think that you're going to die in the middle of the storm because of what is attacking you. So you cry out to Jesus. And Jesus was teaching the disciples how to do proper deliverance here. Because what did he do? He rebuked the wind. And then he said to the sea, peace be still. He rebuked the wind, and then he said to the sea, peace be still. But if you are in the boat and you're looking at your situation, you would think immediately that the problem is the water, not the wind. It's the water that's causing the trouble. It's the water that's going to make us drown. It's the water that's getting in the boat. It's the storm that's causing the water to come. So why, Jesus, would you speak to the sea but rebuke the wind? It's because this is what Jesus was telling them. You have got to get to the source of your problem. The source is not the water. If the wind calms down, the water will be calm. So you have got to get to the root of the problem. If you don't get to the root of the storm and you just rebuke the water will continue to beat upon the boat. Oh, you don't want to hear me this morning. So you have, the wind is the strong man in their life. It's the wind. And see, in the church, we don't understand this. That's why you go to work and you're fighting with that woman or that man at work. But you don't realize there's a source behind the trouble. You have problems in your marriage, and your husband, I don't know what's wrong with him. He's so disrespectful. He doesn't want to come to church. He likes women. And all you do is fight with your husband. But you need to understand there's a wind behind him. You have got to learn to deal with the wind. If you deal with the wind, rebuke the wind and speak to your husband and say, peace be still. See, I'm not going to fight you in the flesh. I know that you are not the problem. You don't have to like me. I know why you don't like me. It's the demon in you that doesn't like me. It's not you. So I'm not going to respond in the flesh. I'm just going to rebuke the demon that is in you, and it will shut the both of you up. He rebuked the wind, and then he said to the sea. So I rebuke the spirit of poverty, and then I speak to my bank account. Peace be still. Oh, you don't want to hear me, Miracle Arena. Thank you. I speak to my situation. I speak to the strong man behind my situation. I get to the root of the problem. You know something? When Jonah was on the boat, the Bible says another storm came on the boat. And all the fishermen that were on the boat, they could not figure out why the storm was there. And they said, what in the world is going on? Why is there a storm on this boat? And they began to dig. Somebody say dig. They began to dig. And then they came to the realization that Jonah was the cause of the problem. So sometimes in life, you have issues. You have a storm. You have problems. If you begin to dig, you will realize, it came from my mother's house. This spirit of lust came from my great-grandfather. You've got to dig. Somebody say dig. It's not your fault. You're in the church. You're doing the right thing. The storm doesn't mean you're in the wrong with God. But you've got to dig and find out where this trouble is coming from. My mom was poor. My grandmother was poor. Her mother was poor. So there's got to be a spirit of poverty in my life. So rather than me work 3 jobs, killing myself, breaking my neck, I'm going to attack the spirit of poverty, and I'm going to begin to speak to the spirit of riches. Riches, come to me. Money, come to me. I am not under the bondage of that demonic power. Am I talking to anybody this morning? We're going to dig. Somebody say dig. Okay. So Jesus said, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, it goes through dry places seeking rest. Finding nothing, it will always come back. So the first fact that we receive from this is demons walk. I want you to write this down for me. Demons, they walk, which means they travel from one place to another. Number 2, Jesus said, demons seek. You have to understand that demons seek. The Bible says he seeks, he looks. They come and they examine your life. And they look for doorways. Somebody say doorways. They look for doorways to be able to enter in and bind you. Remember I said last time that God is a legalist and Satan is a legalist. They both work by a set of legal systems. So Satan knows that if you allow a doorway, he has the right to come in. Okay? What are some doorways? Fornication. Demons can be transferred through sexual contact. When 2 people who are not married come together and engage in illegal sexual activity, demons are transferred from one person to another. A lot of us, the bondage that we enter in is because of some of our previous sexual activity. Number 2, demons can be inherited. As I said before, the things that your parents, your great great grandparents, your ancestors struggled with, you also can struggle with, because they are inherited. And there's a variety of other sins in which demons can enter through. And remember the teaching that I did on Joshua chapter 7, the sin of Achan, bringing accursed objects into our homes? Demons also enter in through accursed objects. Demons don't only possess human beings. They possess territories. They possess streets. You know, in every city, there is a street where you will, where majority of prostitutes will be. Do you realize that? It's usually downtown somewhere, but there's a street where certain men know if you're looking for a prostitute, you go to that street. Demons have possessed that particular street with lust. There are certain neighborhoods that you could consider to be a high homosexual neighborhood. I think it's Church Street in Toronto, right? There's a territorial spirit surrounding that area. So a demon's main goal is to possess. Their first priority is to possess human beings, but they will also possess territory. They can possess animals, as we saw when Jesus cast the demons out into the pigs, right? They can possess animals. It's usually cats. When you think of a principality possesses an entire area, an entire city. Okay? Are you all following me? Are you okay with me this morning? Okay. Fact number three, according to the scripture, demons need rest. Jesus said he goes through dry places seeking rest. This is why they need a body, because they need rest. Okay? If you need rest, that means that you have an ability to feel tired. Am I right? Okay, so that means that demons can grow tired. If you are casting out a demon, this is particularly for people doing deliverance ministry. If you are casting out a demon and the demon seems stubborn, because there are a lot of stubborn demons, stick with it. A demon can get tired of fighting and leave, but 9 times out of 10, you'll get tired before the demon gets tired. But they can get tired. They cannot take much. And this is especially for you, MD. One thing demons cannot take is the book of Revelation. If you are struggling with a really stubborn spirit that doesn't want to go, open and read the book of Revelation, especially the part where Michael and his angels cast out Satan and his angels, and where the Bible says they are thrown into the lake of fire. It makes deliverance much easier. Okay? It makes deliverance much easier, because one thing they cannot stand is their end. They understand that their time is limited. The Bible says Satan is coming down having great wrath because he knows his time is short. So they know their end. They understand that one day they will be thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity. So when you remind them of their end, they can't take it. Sometimes in deliverance, they'll plug the person's ears. They'll put their fingers in the person's ears so they cannot hear, or so they don't have to listen to what's being said. All you do is you take authority, you command them to take their fingers out of the ears. Remember, you have more power in your pinky finger than any demon or devil in hell. Okay? Number four, demons can see. Obviously, the Bible says he finds it empty, swept, and put it in order, which means they have eyes. They watch and they wait for you to let your guard down. You've always got to have your guard up spiritually. You can't get lazy in the body of Christ. Amen? be very vigilant in protecting what comes into your house. Did you hear me? Be very, very observant to what your kids watch on TV. Because that is a very easy doorway for demons to enter. Okay? Fact number five, we all know this. Demons can talk. The Bible says he cried out with a loud voice, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" They speak to people. They speak through people. And you've got to be able to discern when God is speaking, when there's a demon speaking, or when it's you speaking. Why do we have to command a demon to come out more than once? In some instances, when Jesus was casting a demon out of an individual, the Bible says, and he commanded the spirit to come out. But if you read it in the original Greek, that word means to do so repeatedly. Sometimes you have to command a spirit repeatedly to come out. Eventually it will come out if we don't give up and if we don't lose heart. This is especially important when you're doing self-deliverance, which I'd like to teach if I have time. I want us to understand it's possible to do self-deliverance. Now, I don't recommend that you do it by yourself. It's always good to have somebody around when you are doing self-deliverance. The reason being, that anything can happen if you begin to manifest. We see it all the time in Miracle Arena. Demons are like children sometimes. They throw temper tantrums. So they can throw you on the ground. You put your head through a wall. We've seen it all. So it's never recommended that you do it alone, but it's entirely possible for you to do self-deliverance. You don't always need somebody else to lay hands on you, but you can lay hands on yourself and command those spirits to leave. Amen? One should never do deliverance on their own, though. You should never pray for a person and cast out a demon by yourself. I've seen demons grab people by the neck and lift them off the ground. Now, if you're by yourself, what are you going to do? Amen? Somebody say, use wisdom. Yeah. It's never recommended to do any kind of deliverance. Now, sometimes you can't help it, but it's never recommended to do deliverance in your own home. Why? Because the Bible says when they come out, they come back. So they will always come back to the place where you cast them out to make sure it's swept and in order. So if you cast them out in your house, especially if you were involved in witchcraft activity, if you cast them out in your house, they'll come back to your house. And then that's when you have people who came out of witchcraft and then their beds start shaking and doors are opening and closing and children are crying at night. So it's always best to do deliverance in the house of God. Amen? Once you have done deliverance, if you couldn't help it and it's done in your house, or even after you've done it in the church, I always recommend that you go home and anoint every door and every windowsill. Anoint it with oil. And say, any spirit that has left my life, you are not permitted to return in the name of Jesus. Amen? Fact number six, demons have a will. They have a will. Verse 44, Jesus said, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. So they have decision-making ability. The unclean spirit in the scripture refers to the person as my house. So that means they've taken possession of your body. And they have dwelt in your body. That is their house. Okay? Fact number seven, demons can think, obviously. Number eight, they have faith. Demons have faith. Demons believe in God better than we believe in God. You know that? They said, we know who you are, Jesus, Son of the Most High. But the Pharisees didn't even know that. They said, have you come to cast us out before our time? So they knew their own prophecy, but the Pharisees didn't understand their prophecy. You understand? Fact number 9, demons have a memory. They have a great memory. My pastor once dealt with a demon. He was speaking to a man, and the man was talking about the cross of Calvary. And the man started describing how Jesus was scourged and the stripes on his back and how they put the crown of thorns on his head. But he was going into amazing detail. Now, this person came in the church and was just talking normal. And he was talking to my pastor. And he said, my pastor said, the description that he was giving as to what Jesus went through is not found in the Bible. It was so deep. It wasn't found in the Bible. And he said, and then he said, the Lord spoke to me and he said, it's a demon speaking and that demon was at the cross. That's why it's going into such great detail. So demons have an amazing memory. They can remember your first sin, your last sin. They remember what triggers you. They know how to get to you, okay? Fact number 10, demons examine. The Bible says, when he comes, he finds the place empty, swept, and put in order. So they have a sense. They don't like clean vessels. So it's a spirit-filled body. It's the spirit-filled body that keeps the demon from returning. Whenever you do serious deliverance on an individual, don't close deliverance empty without calling the Holy Spirit to enter. Because when the demons come back, if the place is empty, then they can return. But if it's filled with the Holy Ghost, there's no room for them to enter. That's a good time to get somebody to start speaking and praying in the Holy Ghost. They come and they look. And the Bible says when a spirit is cast out, this is very important, when a spirit is cast out, it goes through dry places seeking rest. Now, what is a dry place? A dry place can be another person who is not filled with the Holy Ghost. You know when Prof is doing deliverance, or myself or whoever is doing deliverance, and he says, come on, everybody, pray, pray, pray. Take it very seriously. Take it seriously. Because when the demon comes out, it looks for dry places, including dry people. So if you are not prayerful, it's entirely possible for the spirit to leave one and enter into another. Last year when Bishop Salifu was here, that happened. I don't know if you people remember that. There was a woman in the back who was not praying when he said pray. And the spirit went out of the person in the front and entered into the woman. She was like 7 months pregnant. The spirit left this person at the altar and entered into her. And Bishop Salifu had to go and deliver her. And he said to the woman, why weren't you praying when I asked you to pray? The spirit looks for dry places. Am I helping anybody here this morning? Okay. If you are not filled, they will enter. So you must be full of the Word. You must be filled with the Word. And you must be filled with the Holy Ghost. You must be full of godliness and righteousness. A demon will call you out. And listen. If you are engaging in unclean life, especially fornication and pornography and lustful activity, things like that, don't enter into deliverance ministry. Okay? Don't start to lay hands on people because it's so easy for a transfer of spirit to take place. And not only that, but I've seen it so many times. One time, there was a deliverance going on, and the man of God was casting out the demon, and one of the ushers came and started helping the man of God. And he was saying, come out in the name of Jesus. And the person turned and he said, you who were sleeping with her last night and you're coming to cast me out? So it is very important when doing deliverance ministry, first you cover yourself and make sure you're doing right before you enter, okay? Very, very, very quickly. Maybe I might have to continue again. I want to go through some of the strongmen spirits. There are 12 major strongmen. And if you can study these spirits, have an understanding of these spirits, deliverance in your own life and in the life of other people will become very easy. Remember I said last time, Satan has 3 major generals in his kingdom. At the top, there's Satan himself. How many of you remember the 3 major generals that work under Satan? Anybody? Jezebel was one. Spirit of death and hell, that was the second one. Antichrist is the third. Okay? Those are the 3 major generals that work directly under Lucifer. Under these 3 fall all the other strong men. Okay? Let's look at some, because I want us to understand something. Some demons will only come out if you call them by name. You cannot just look at a person and say, any spirit that is bothering or tormenting you, come out in the name of Jesus. Some spirits will only respond if you call them by name. And they go by different names in different countries and different territories. But if you can get a general idea of what the spirit is, he's not going to say, you didn't pronounce my name right, so I'm not coming out. But if you can get a general understanding of what the spirit of infirmity is the spirit of infirmity in any country you go to. You understand? Let's look at the first one here. The spirit of jealousy. The spirit of jealousy is a strong man. Okay? Now, this spirit is responsible for revenge, competition, murder, anger, rage, and suspicion. These are the spirits that fall under this strong man spirit. I refer you to Numbers chapter 5 and verse 11 to 14. Are you writing this down? Don't just look at me. This is not show and tell. I want you to actually have an understanding of what we're dealing with here. Okay, so you go to work and there's this woman who's whispering about you all the time. She talks about you. She hates you. You have a friend. Every time you try and come up, the friend is unhappy. But when you're down, the friend is very happy. Okay? You have to remember, he spoke to the wind. He rebuked the wind and he said to the sea. Okay? So what are we going to attack here? The spirit of jealousy. In a marriage, when you have a husband who is always accusing the wife, or the wife is always accusing the husband. You're having an affair. You're sleeping around. Who are you talking to? Where are you going? What are you doing? And it's unfounded. There's a spirit there. And that spirit destroys a lot of marriages. It's called the spirit of jealousy. Attack that spirit in your marriage. Are you hearing me? You attack that spirit in your marriage. Okay? So, don't call out the lesser demons, okay? So you have somebody who has a lot of rage, a lot of anger, a lot of suspicion. If you spend your time, MD, saying, you know, spirit of anger or spirit of rage or spirit of suspicion, come out, you have not dealt with the strong man spirit. A lot of deliverance ministry is research ministry. It involves just sitting down and talking to a person. Find out what the problem is. You know, the other day, this was, I think, on last Sunday or Tuesday, somebody came into my office, and she was saying that she has, there's a lot of demonic activity going on in her life, and it seems like there's a dark cloud, and she was asking me, can I help her with deliverance or make an appointment with MD? And so I just started asking her some questions, you know, what's going on, what's your prayer life like, you know? You read your Bible, and what's the problem? And then after a while, she was talking, and then, and then when I sleep with my boyfriend, and then I said, wait, hold on now. I said, oh, there's the source. You don't need MD. You need to stop fornicating. So a lot of it is just sitting down and talking to a person, talking to a married couple, find out what the issue is. And a lot of the times, we can speak a word that can deliver the person rather than disturbing MD all the time. Amen? Okay. Number two, I think I'm only gonna get to number two. Number two is the lying spirit. So the lying spirit produces many other demons that are not associated with lying. But like I said earlier, you know those people that can lie at the drop of a dime? And they're such ridiculous lies, like you don't even understand why, I don't even understand why you said that. Your shoes are green and you told me they're orange. You know those kind of people? We all know people like that, where they lie for any and every reason. Sometimes we name them pathological liars. That's a lying spirit. A pathological liar always has a lying spirit. And, you know, if you're not careful, not everybody that lies has a lying spirit, but the lying spirit is behind every lie. Did you hear me? Not everybody that lies has a lying spirit, but the lying spirit is behind every lie. And if you are not careful, when you continually engage in those kinds of activities, that opens the door for the lying spirit to come in. So, and that's something that we have to conquer. We have to conquer the lying spirit, because that's something that we all do. Not everybody in the church has a spirit of jealousy, but everybody lies. For little things, little reasons. We call them white lies, but we don't realize that no lies are white. You understand? Jesus called him the father of lies. So when we act like the father of lies, we are acting like Satan. You understand? Okay. So I refer you to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Verses 20 to 22. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 22. And Acts chapter 16, verse 16 to 18, which is the spirit of divination. Now, the lying spirit, spirits that fall under the lying spirits, you will see with false prophets. They operate with a lying spirit. Religious spirits, the spirit of divination, which is knowledge through supernatural means, carries the lying spirit, adultery, homosexuality, profanity. Now, these little things that I'm calling out, those are the little demons that I'm speaking of here. When I say adultery, homosexuality, profanity, slander and gossip. Slander and gossip. Slander and I'm gonna close with this. Do you know that the Bible puts gossip and murder in the same category? Gossip and murder are put in the exact same category. Why is that? It's because you kill the spirit of the person that you gossip. when we talk, God said in the, I wanted to do it in the second service, but I don't know. I wanted to talk about spiritual authority. And being able to have authority means being able to sit under authority. And God said to the children of Israel, he said, you shall not speak against or revile a leader of God's people. Why? Because when you speak against a child of God, you are speaking against God himself. That's why God said to Miriam and Aaron, he said, why were you not afraid to talk about Moses? He's my servant. Why didn't you fear talking about somebody that I have called? So when we gossip, we kill the spirit in the person. It's murder. And God, it stinks in his nostrils. You heard the prophet is doing this with this person. You heard the first lady said this to this person. You heard that the person beside you is dating this person. You heard that the worship leader is doing this with it. And you pick up the phone and you decide to spread the spirit of lies. So you become an agent of Satan in the church. What's the difference between you and a witch? Some of us, we have to be careful. We think because we come to church and we lift up our hands and we speak in tongues, that means when we die, we're going to sit in the presence of God. But when you allow yourself to be used by a spirit, a demonic spirit, you know what you're doing is wrong. You know there's no truth in what you're saying. You know it's completely false and you still want to spread it. You are an agent of the devil. There's no other way to say it. You're in the church, but you are a demon incarnate. You kill your sisters. You kill your friends. You kill the people who sow seeds for you. You kill the people who pay your rent. You kill the people who lay hands on you. That's why Jesus looked at Jerusalem and he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets. How I desire to call you to myself. But you're killing us. Ministry is hard. Do you know that? Ministry is hard, and if you are not prayerful, you will become very bitter because the church, they will put stripes and marks on your back. People that you break your neck for will turn around, pick up the phone, and gossip you. They will kill you. Forget ministry. Being a Christian is hard, and it shouldn't even be like that. I'm going to close. It's only in the church that we come to pretend like everything is okay when our life is in hell. Only in the Christian church we have to come and pretend like we have it all together when we're falling apart. Why? Because if we show our weakness, the people beside us will gossip. Somebody say repent. Okay, stand to your feet. It's 11 o'clock. We have to get ready for the second service. I'm going to continue. I'm sure my husband is here now. But if he allows me to, we're going to continue with the rest of the message. Okay? Praise the Lord. Let me cover you in the blood before the second service begins. Get your offering ready. Father, I pray against the spirit of retaliation against this teaching. Cover your people in the blood of Jesus. Let them be washed, made clean. Anything unright in their lives, we're going to deal with it in the second service. I thank you for your grace and your mercy and your blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Visit our online bookstore and get an in-depth look at the teachings of Prophet Kofi Danso with titles such as The Mantle of Honor, Adonijah Must Die, or Kingdom Keys. Audio CDs are also available. For more information, visit miraclearena.ca or call 1-800-807-7617. God bless you. Miracle Arena is taking the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the nations of the world through your generous support. The gospel is free, but the logistics are costly. We are therefore asking that you consider becoming a monthly partner or plant a one-time seed to spread the good news to the nations of the world. Should you choose to do so, you will be placed on our miracle prayer list and you will receive a personal prophecy from Prophet Kofi Danso. Please call 1-800-807-7617 or visit miraclearena.ca and make a donation now.